How many times it says creepy while creeping? Isn't that weird? Anyway, that just stood out to me, that all the creeping things that were in, you know, who likes creeping things like spiders and what else is a creeping thing? I don't know. Just stood out. Snakes, yeah. Anyway, we better keep moving. So one of the things I want to do, last week, we asked you to do this. You know, one of the challenges with church, you know, is that, hey, there's people that weren't here last week. There's, you know, for all kinds of different reasons. So a lot of things you have to at least say two Sundays, you know, where someone gets missed. There were people that were serving last week that were in our classes and different things. So last week we asked you to commit to reading through the Bible this year. Or the other thing we asked you is take the first 30 days of the year, the first 30 days, and read Scripture every day. Would you be willing to commit to do that? And so last week when I read through, I was overwhelmed at how many people put their name down and say, you know what, I'm going to commit to doing this. And so I'm going to pass this around again for a couple reasons. One reason, those of you who weren't here last week, to be able to make that commitment, or maybe some of you were here last week and you weren't ready because, you know, that's one of the things I said. Let's make our yes be yes and our no be no. Don't just do it because everybody else is doing it. Is this something you want to commit to? And so if you have not done that, you can do that. That's one thing. I think secondly, a reason to pass it around, because to get encouraged when you read through here and see, you know, all the people that are reading through the Bible, but then all the other different things that people are doing to be in Scripture. And so that's the second reason, encouragement. And the third reason is we're making a commitment. And so I think someone said this past Friday was the day that most resolutions get broken, and they don't make it past then. So we need to have reminders of, oh, this was my commitment. And so I think that's a reminder to you as you read through and you remember, you know, what was your commitment? And so if you're here and you're like, oh, man, I missed that day. You don't have to beat yourself up. God doesn't beat you up. He doesn't beat us up when we don't do what we ask. What do? We talk to the Lord. God, you know what? I blew it. I'm sorry. We get back up. He's forgiving. We're forgiving. We don't have to keep, you know, but we're honest. Let's honestly acknowledge, hey, you know what? I missed a day. But let's get back up. And so that's the third reason. I'm going to start it over on this side because we started it that way. And so you can go ahead. You're allowed to pass while I'm preaching and everything else that's going on, okay? So we'll do that. So the next thing I want to do is I want to review, because last week I kind of laid out where we're going this year, sermon-wise. Not all the details, but we're kind of just hitting a big picture these first 3 weeks in January. And so let me read this verse. This is from Luke 24, verse 27. This is kind of the key verse. This is kind of the verse for all this year as we're thinking about it. It's Resurrection Sunday. Jesus showed himself, the resurrected one, to Mary at the tomb. And then he joins two men who were walking, or at least one of them's a man. I don't know where, it doesn't matter. They're walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And so this is where there's a whole conversation. You can read it, you know, later. But this was kind of the verse that Jesus describes what he does with these men. Verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And so now that the resurrection, the Old Testament, as we see it, the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, he goes back and he tells them, Moses is the first five books of our Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. The prophets are the other books of the Bible. Later he's going to add the Psalms, the wisdom. And so what he's saying is, he's saying, you know, he went back through and say, it's all about me. Here's where I was. And so we saw that. We heard that. And hopefully this week when you were reading Scripture, that was a question you looked. Where is Jesus in this? Where is he at? And so what we're going to, you know, do this today and next week is kind of the bookends. I don't even know. Did your grandfather make these? I'm not sure. These are on my bookshelf, and my books fell over when I pull it off. And so you get the reason why we need bookends. You know, they hold up the books. Okay? And so this week, you know, and next week, we're going to kind of look at the two bookends of the Bible. And so the first bookend is Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, the beginning. The beginning of the Bible, the beginning of God was there before the beginning. And so we're going to look at that today. And then next week, we're going to look at the end, the other bookend of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. What is this all about? What is God doing? Where is history going? And so we're going to look at those two different things, because both of them together help us see God's purpose and God's design on life and time and what is the meaning of it all. And let's be honest, when we read Genesis 1 and 2, it's very hard for us to relate to because we've never lived in a perfect environment. And so we don't understand it. Even before the beginning, we don't understand that because every one of us in this room had a beginning. So all we understand is having a beginning. Well, God never has a beginning. And so it's very hard to relate to. But God has put it there to give us understanding, but also to help us see most of the Bible that we live in is Genesis chapter 3 through Revelation chapter 20. That's where we live. And we're going to see that. And we're going to spend most of the year on that, but we're going to, like I said, we're going to look at that this year or this morning. All right, and so we're reading more scripture in the service than normal. I asked Zach and April Weaver, last week we had our young adults reading. This morning I asked a married couple, and so they're going to come on up here, and they're going to read. I gave them the freedom. You can read it however you want. And they're going to read through Genesis chapter 2. We'll bring it up on the screen, or you can turn in your Bible to follow along. Thank you. You got to hold a microphone. There's people that have trouble hearing. All right? You don't have to be old to have trouble hearing.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land that was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. And the tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. And there it divided, it became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed all around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die."
Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed."
Thank you. Thanks. We're going to just pause, and I'm just going to be quiet for a moment and just give you a moment to talk to the Lord. Be still, be quiet, just talk quietly. Father, we thank you so much that you are close, that you are personal. And God, you want this world to know and understand who you are. You are full of grace. You are kind. And so, Father, I thank you, God, that you use redeemed people to be part of your redemption. And Father, I just pray, Lord, just some of our local partnerships here, that right here in our community, just made up of everyday redeemed men and women of God that are just simply listening to your voice and obeying you. And so God, we lift them up. We pray for Celebrate Recovery, Lord. God, that people that are struggling with life-controlling issues would be willing to walk through the door to find hope and comfort and grace. God, we pray for Truth in Nature. And God, this ministry to fatherless boys in our community, using creation, using the outdoors to build meaningful relationships. God, we thank you for Child Evangelism Fellowship and the commitment that they've had to the gospel and to children for decades. And Father, I pray this week as Good News Club starts in our community, God, that you would continue to use the church, believers, to love children at Hickory Grove and Pine Creek. And help them point them to Jesus Christ, who loves them and gave his life for them. Father, we thank you for Women at the Well. And God, a ministry that is reaching out and welcoming women. And some of them have nowhere else to go. And so, Father, we just pray that you would continue to use Women at the Well to faithfully love women and wherever they're at in their journey. God, we thank you for Keystone Family Alliance. And God, this ministry that wants to partner the church and the foster care system, Lord, that we as a church would take responsibility, Lord, for children that are fatherless, motherless. God, that you would continue to establish that here in Jefferson County. God, we thank you for the Trucker Traveler Ministry that we never even think of right here, 80, that there are people from all over the world driving through this county and suffer hardship. And so, God, I thank you for this ministry that is focused on helping people that are in a hard, difficult place, truckers, travelers, whoever. And, Father, that you would meet people where they're at. God, we thank you for Helping Hands and the church and the community here, pulling the resources together to help people in the community with physical, tangible needs that they have. And Father, together we could be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for the Brookville Ministerium, the pastors in this community that love you with all of their heart. And they recognize, God, that the church is yours. And we want to be on mission with you, God. We recognize, God, that apart from you, we will not reach this community the way you want us to. And so, Father, we thank you, God, for what you're doing. That you would continue to build your kingdom here in this local community. And so we praise you and we thank you for all of these things, Lord. In your name, amen. Amen. So I'm modeling to us, hopefully, that you keep this card, keep it in your car or wherever you go, and as you drive by some of these places. Next week we'll do the regional ones, and then we'll do the global ones. And so we'll, as a church, pray through these different areas. And so this is something that we all can be doing all the time, anytime. All right. If you have your Bible, we said this I said this last week. We want you to be bringing your Bible. If you forgot your Bible today, or if you forget your Bible, we have them back at the back. These, you can grab one. We're not going to put them up on the screen. And for the reason of, I'm not punishing you. I know that's our natural thing. Oh, he's punishing us. No. I want you to be able to learn to page through the Bible. We'll wait on you. We'll wait on you to find the passage. And we want to do that together. So, in your Bible, you're going to turn to two places. All right? You're going to have to juggle a little bit. You're going to turn to Genesis chapter 1, and then you're going to need to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1 and keep your finger in there. We're going to be flipping back and forth this morning. And so, you're like, oh, man, Steve, I'm getting my full workout here at church. So Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1. So as you're getting there, what are some word games? What are some word games that we play? Scrabble. What? Boggle. Bobble. Boggle. Anagrams. Bananagrams. Bananagrams. Wordle. I'm thinking more. See, I'm really active. How about taboo? You know that one. Pictionary, right? You use a word, but you have to draw. So words are important, aren't they? There is no relationship without words. And you know what? It's what sets us apart in creation from all the other animals. Well, Steve, they communicate. Yeah, they communicate. But they don't use language. There's no, Mr. Ed doesn't exist, okay? I know the show, and the young people are like, who's Mr. Ed? Talk to your parents or your grandparents. He was before my time. I saw the reruns, okay? Words. How do we share what's going on in our heart and our soul? The real us. It's only through words. Words express that. Words let that out. And so words help us see the invisible part of our life. And you know what? Not just for us as human beings, but also we can't see with our eyes everything that's going on in this world. God is an invisible God. We can't see him. Scripture says no one has ever seen him on this side. That's because of Genesis 3. But we'll get into that in 3 weeks, all right? And so how does the invisible God of the universe help us understand him? He uses words. Genesis chapter 1 is God spoke. And what happened when he spoke? Things happened. He took nothing and he made something out of it. And so our study this morning is not going through all the details of Genesis 1 and 2. Our study this morning is, where is Jesus Christ in the beginning? Where is he at? Because when we read through there, I didn't hear anybody say, there's Jesus Christ. But just because we don't read his name doesn't mean he's not there. And so that's what we would like to look at this morning. How is Jesus there in the beginning? And so you have your Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Let me read it again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so what is our question? Where is Jesus? Answer? There he is. Jesus is God, right? Jesus is there. He's there at the beginning. Christ is there at the beginning. Now, there's a lot of things that we can't understand. And so this is what we see in the Bible. As God is revealing more and more about himself, as time goes, we can look back and see things that we didn't see before. And so that's where we go to the Gospel of John. All right, flip back to the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. I'm going to read all the verse. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I think just to give the picture. And again, keep in your mind what we just read, Genesis chapter 1. Now think John chapter 1. Notice any similarities. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so John is giving us insight here. He says the Word was there at the beginning. Who was the Word? I remember when I was a kid, I heard this passage, and I remember the pastor would explain it, or my Sunday school teacher, and I would always say, like, yeah, I have no idea what they're talking about. I don't get this one. I don't understand it. It actually came up in our house this week when I was working on this. And so John chapter 1, we're given one of the names of Jesus Christ. One of his names is, he is the Word. Well, what does that mean? Well, what is Word? What is the, actually, the word is Logos. Okay, that's the Greek word here. And so the name for God is Logos. And it means Word, but it also can mean message. And so what is he saying here? In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was God. Jesus was there in the beginning. That's what John is telling us. Because he says it, well, the tail end of verse 1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's read it this way. In the beginning was Jesus Christ, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. That's what he's saying. That's what he's communicating here. He's telling us that he was there in the beginning. And so as it relates to words, I'm using verbal words right now, right? You can hear them, but you can't see them. So how do you see my words? Well, when you write them down, the written word, now you can see them. And you're going to see later in the book of John how it'll come together. of what he's communicating. But what we see here is that Jesus Christ was there at the beginning. He was part of creation. He was creating because he's God. And so in John chapter 1, we read through Genesis chapter 1. What does John tell us here in verse 2? He said he was in the beginning with God. He reaffirms that. He said that in verse 1. Now he's saying it again. Well, why does he keep saying it over and over? Because we're a little slow at times. And so God has to say it over and over, different ways, to say, oh, that's what you meant. He reaffirms that. And so what's the next thing that he says? Where we see Jesus in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. So we'll get some participation. What are some aspects of creation that God created in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2? Just go ahead and say a couple of them out loud.
Light.
Keep going. Very good. That's right. Okay? Yeah, so he created all those things. God did. He spoke and made them. And so here in John chapter 1, look back there in verse 3. And so if you didn't get it, verse 3 he says, all things were made through him. And again, who is the him? The Word, Jesus Christ, the message of God. God himself, he's saying all things were made through Jesus Christ. And this is where John does this. Like, if you like philosophical things, read John. Because he kind of, like, he has all these words that are like, what are you really saying? Okay? All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So today, you have a few down moments. You just dwell on that verse for a little bit. All right? But what is he really saying? He's saying that Jesus Christ created everything. Everything that has been made, which is everything. If it hasn't been made, then he didn't make it. But if it's been made, he's made it. What we see, what we don't see, past, present, future. And again, Genesis chapter 1 is the perfect creation. Keep that in mind here. And so what's hard for us is we don't understand a perfect creation because we are tainted. We are sinful. We don't really know Genesis 1 and 2. And so he's letting us know that. So go back to Genesis. Flip back to Genesis chapter 1. What does God make in verse 3? He says, let there be light. Let there be light. So was there light before God said, let there be light? Yeah, there was. God is light. He is light. And we're going to see that next week when we look at Revelation 21 and 22, we're going to see it's going to all come together. When you look at Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21 and 22, and you see how they help us understand what God is doing. And so God is light, but he creates light. And so, verse 3 here. When does the sun, the moon, and the stars get created? First day? I would disagree with you. But good try, Kevin. Day four. The sun, moon, and the stars. Now again, this is another thing. We don't understand light apart from the sun, do we? A light bulb, but if the sun wasn't there, we don't understand that. But what God is putting out is, you know what? He is greater than creation. He's greater. And so that's what he's saying here, that God is light. He's creating the light. So there was light before there was the sun. And what's the point here? The point he's making is, flip back to John chapter 1. Look in verse 4 and 5. And again, he's talking about Jesus here. Christ, the Messiah, God, the Son. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has overcome it. And so what is he saying here? And again, we see that, how do we see, where was Christ at? He is the creator of light. And we see this in the Gospels, and we'll see this later, you know, that, how does he describe? I am the what of the world? I am the light of the world. And so we see that in creation. We see what he's doing here. And so we get the perspective that Jesus Christ was just as present there in the beginning as God the Father and God the Son. And so the climax of creation is man, humanity. And when I say man, I mean man and woman. They're together. Together we bear the image of God. And so look in verse 26. Let me read here. And he says, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Wait a minute here. What's going on? What's this us? Who's God talking to? He didn't make a human being yet. Who's he talking to? Who's the us? And the Holy Spirit. That's right. We get a picture that there is a triune God. Why do we need relationship? Because there's a relationship in the Godhead. That's why. That's why we need connection. That's why we need one another. And so that's what's going on here. God the Son, and again, He doesn't help us. We don't get it all in Genesis 1 and 2. It takes a long time to get what God is really doing. But the point here is God is helping us see what he is like. And so what is he doing here? He creates man and woman to represent God in the flesh in his creation. We represent him. He gives us authority to lead and to rule the creation. We're different than the animals. We're unique. We represent him. Flip back to John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus. Jesus Christ. God the Son. And the Word became, what does he say? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. Full of grace and truth. The Word. The visible God took on flesh, and this is the connection. Just like my words, you can't see them, but when you write them down, you can see the words. How do we see God? Jesus Christ. And again, I could give you a whole bunch of scriptures. We could be here all afternoon, but we're not going to do that. We just want to give the big picture. The big picture. And so back to Jenna, you know, so the Word became flesh, and we just celebrated that, right? Isn't that what Christmas is all about? That God himself would do something amazing, that he would add humanity to his deity? That he would do that? And this is where now it unlocks some of the part of the book of Hebrews and others that, you know, we don't have time to look at all that, but that's a sacrificial God. That was willing to do that. That's a caring father that was willing to do that. Man, he must really love us. So, but part of the focus here, I think this is where it comes back, just to ground us, you know, looking at the Godhead and the relationship, you know, our need for community, our need for connection. And so this is where I think, you know, and again, this is just an opportunity for us to ground this to us as a church. We need to do more than just gather on a Sunday morning. We need to be in each other's lives. You know, a lot of us are reading through the different parts of the Bible. And I said this before. Don't just read through the Bible and then not share with anybody. You want to know how God is honored? When you talk about him, then he has a big old smile. I don't know if he does or not. I don't know if he has a smile or not. But that's what brings honor to God. When we talk about him as though he is everywhere that we go. Because he is. And see, this is why I think even just, you know, what are some of those places for us as a church? You know, we have a men's group that meets on Tuesday nights. It's just a group of men meeting together, everyday guys, just reading scripture. We need one another. We help each other. Ladies, you know, ladies meet on Wednesday nights. And there's a group that meets on Sunday mornings. You know, scheduling's hard. We get that. We're busy. There's all kinds of stuff going on. We have groups that are, you know, co-ed or family groups. You know, we have a couple groups that are meeting. Rudy has a group, and I know we have a group that meets on Sunday evenings. But here's where I would say, praise God for what is going on. But I would say that's an important value as a church. But we have a lot of growth room. We have a lot of growth room as it relates to being involved in each other's lives. I wish we didn't have to have structure. Who here likes structure? Some of you like structure. Who doesn't like structure? I wish we didn't have to have structure. Unfortunately, because this would be the other side. You know, as you think about your connections that you've had, or actually, we'll do this one. You were just with family over Christmas. You know, you're with family. How did you talk about Jesus and your relationship with the Lord with your family? I'm not asking you to answer that. I'm asking that as a question for you. You know, as you think about connections that you've had with people over the last week, how did you bring Jesus Christ, and I'm not even talking about unbelievers. Let's just talk about our believer friends. How did you bring Jesus up and what God's showing you and teaching you with people that were in the same family? Who loves Jesus? Raise your hand. Who's not awake? Jab them. And yet we as believers, we struggle talking about Jesus, and we all love him because it's a spiritual battle. So I'm just being honest. You know, there's a group of guys, we've kind of had some conversations and about life groups, and we don't even know what to do. We say, all right, God, just help us. So I think here's an opportunity to see that within the Godhead is relationship. And I know that within this room, there's different capacities. God's made us with different capacities, how much relationship we want and need. But the bottom line is, we all need relationship. When we're alone, it's just not good. And we see that in Genesis chapter 1. It's not just man and woman. All right, so we'll move on. Back to John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so this is when in the progression of revelation, we really can't understand God as Father until we see God the Son, and to see that relationship, that complete submission and obedience and dependence. And so that's what we see in the Gospels. That's what we see is going on. So all this to say, you know, we could, again, I could talk for a lot, and what we see here, back to the very beginning. Christ, Jesus Christ, was there in the beginning. And so when you read Genesis chapter 1 and the rest, Jesus is there. So here's what I'd like to do to end this part. We're gonna read another passage of Scripture together. We'll bring it up. Whenever we have to read things together, we'll bring it up here, because it would just sound weird if we're reading different translations, and that would be off. So Colossians chapter 1, let's read these verses together. And again, this is a long list of a description of who Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is. And so let's read these together. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Very good. So Christ created a perfect world, completely holy, free from sin, free from pain, free from suffering. God, that's how God created the world. That's what he says. Now, we all know Genesis 3, and we've never lived in that world. We don't know that. We know Genesis 3 and the rest of it. We know a broken world filled with suffering and pain and difficulty and heartache. And so this is one where I would say for us, as we're rubbing shoulders with people in our workplaces, and this is one of our on-ramps to turn the conversation to the gospel. When someone's talking about fires that are raging in California and the devastation and the pain, where I know in my own life, from the last couple of weeks, I've had two people that one has miscarried, a young lady or a gal that has miscarried pretty early on. Another one has a person that their baby was born at 24 weeks and the baby didn't make it. And so we could all sit here and give examples of things that we're hearing, right? And so what do we do? What do we do? The on-ramp is, as people are sharing and talking about those things, we remind people that, yes, the pain is real, but that's not how God created it. That's not how God made it. And sometimes it's just we say that, and then we move on. We plant a tree, a seed of the truth. That's the truth. But then you might hear some other things. Well, God's this and that. How could I? You know what? That's real. But what is the truth? That's not what God made. God didn't make pain. God did not make sin. God did not make suffering. And so we need to be reminded of that. And that needs to be part of our conversation with people, that we need to remind people of that. So I'm going to invite the worship team. The last part here, and this is what I would ask you or ask us as we search our heart here, ask the Holy Spirit, you know, to open your eyes to where is it in your life that you are living disconnected from God? Ask the Holy Spirit. Search your heart. Where are you living disconnected from Him? That's kind of the application here. One of, it's many. So why don't we go ahead and stand up? And do you want us to stand up? Too late.
Sure.
Too late.
Everyone's standing.
Everyone's standing. Already.